Welcome to the 100% LCFC podcast, brought to you by our sponsors at ADT Taxes, Everard's Tiger and Peter's Pizzeria. Today's show, 100% LCFC podcast, episode number 38. I've got a special guest this time around, not just a fan, not just a content provider. I've actually got a Leicester legend. It's Mr. Matt Piper. How are you, Matt?
How you doing, mate? You okay?
Oh, mate.
I didn't quite go as far as a Leicester legend.
No, listen.
I appreciate you saying that.
You stapled your legendary status, mate, when you got that last goal at Filbert Street. Let's go straight on to that, actually, while we're on the topic. I just watched the goal on YouTube because, hey, we can catch anything on YouTube these days. And your goal's there. It's cemented forever.
No, it is, mate. And do you know what, chappers? When that came up, when it came on YouTube, I was like, wow, why has someone put this on YouTube? Because literally, mate, when I scored it, it obviously meant a lot to me personally.
Yeah, of course, being a Leicester lad and that.
Yeah, obviously, because of that. But it was sort of, I didn't think it was as big as it was. And it's as I've got older.
Yeah, it stuck with you.
I've realised that it's, you know, it was such an important goal. And thank God that Callum Davidson dived out of the way of it, and so did John Stevenson. Because if it wasn't for that, I only played really 18, 20 games for the first team. And I really probably wouldn't have been remembered unless I scored that goal.
I watched it and it was just mad. It was like the ball come across, face a goal. You've sort of just left your man and dived. it's a bullet of an header, to be fair.
Yeah, well, you know what, mate? I was one of them guys that for all through the youth team and the reserve team, and when I got in the first team, all the managers, Gary Parker, David Nish, when I was in the youth team, Nev Hamilton,
yeah.
God bless him, he's left us now, but they all used to say that when I jumped I looked like a turtle because I used to jump in the air to head the ball because I'm 6'1", so I should have been good at heading the ball because I was quite tall, big lad, and I used to jump and my neck for some reason just used to go back into my shoulders because I didn't used to like heading the ball.
Really?
And a funny story about that goal is we signed, oh, what is his name? Ben Thatcher. We signed Ben Thatcher, who was Tottenham's left back at the time I scored that goal. And he's the guy that tries to, if you watch the goal back, he tries to clear the ball away. And he's a big lad, Ben Thatcher, wide. And he tries to kick the ball away. And he nearly kicks my head off when I kick that ball. And he signed for Leicester literally the next season, I think. And I had gone to Sunderland and I come back and we was on a night out.
As you did back then,
Brian Dean.
Wow.
I'd gone out on a night out with Brian Dean and Ben Thatcher. He'd had a few beers, I had a few beers, and I said, "Hey mate, what about when I scored that header by when you played for Tottenham?" And he said, "You know what? You would never have scored that goal, but the night before, all the Tottenham boys went out,
and I
had 13 pints." I was like, "Oh my God."
Days. I mean, that was football though. Mate, back in the day. Back in the day, they did drink, didn't they, before and after games and stuff. I can't see that now. The boys just seem to wear headphones, put their heads down, and you don't sort of see them mingle anymore. It's weird.
No, mate, it's changed totally. And to be fair, I think the more foreigners that have come into the game have come and they've brought their culture and sort of their style of things.
Yeah.
And they don't drink. They probably have a glass of red wine a week.
Took the English out of it.
They have, mate. I mean, you see when we're playing in Europe years ago, you know, the fans that were going out, very humble, going out for a glass of wine, and then the English turn up with like 15, 20 pints, you know, start singing songs and going crazy.
Yeah, 4 hours before kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a shift. Probably about when I sort of retired around 2000 and between 2005, 2010, there was a shift. And sort of, I always look at Wayne Rooney as sort of being the last of his kind. The kind of my era that used to drink but still be able to turn up on a weekend and perform.
Yeah, still like, hack
that
it.
That totally went, mate. Exactly. That totally went. when the foreigners started coming in.
Now you're name dropping, so I'm going to ask you a question. Who would you say is the best technical player that you've ever played against?
The best technical player, without a doubt, that's an easy question, mate, is Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp, oh man. What?
I played against Dennis Bergkamp.
Well, we all as Leicester fans know. Yeah, that game against us where he got that. It was a hat-trick, wasn't it, that he got back?
It was a hat-trick, and you'll have to get Matty Elliott on to talk you through that goal that he scored.
Hook us up with that one, Pipes.
Mate, listen, I'll do it, but he won't do the interview because he don't want to relive that moment, because literally it was his worst moment in a Leicester City shirt.
Yeah, but he had some good moments after that, so we can...
mate, he is a genuine Leicester City legend.
He is.
But that moment, listen, I always let him off because Dennis Bergkamp was my favourite player of all time.
Oh, he's up there.
Him and Zidane, probably... my favourite players of all time, and only if they scored that goal against you can get away with it, because the way Dennis Bergkamp took that ball, I was at that game. It was a ball from David Platt, chipped over the top.
Yeah.
He brought it down in mid-air, and I was sitting in the double decker at Filbert Street. He brought it down in mid-air, and before it hit the floor, Matt Elliott went to clear him up. He flicked it back over Matt Elliott's head. It bounced once, and then he half-volleyed it past Casey Kellogg.
Yeah, I remember.
It is probably the best live goal that I have ever seen. So there's a story from this as well, chappers. As soon as he scored that goal, even though I was in a Leicester tracksuit because I was a Leicester Academy player, I think I was 14 or 15.
Yeah, I'm about the same sort of age as you. I'm 32. And I remember.
No, I'm a bit older than you. Mate. I'm 37.
Yeah,
now.
But you know, sort of. I remember being a kid as well watching that. So yeah, some memories are coming back right now. But yeah, you were saying,
that's
sorry.
It, mate. He scored that goal, Dennis Bergkamp, and I stood up in the double decker in the Leicester end, so surrounded by Leicester fans, and I clapped to that goal. And a Leicester fan, five rows in front of me, stood up and he went, he was a grown man, probably our age now, and he turned around and he went, sit down!
Really?
Because he thought I was an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I wasn't an Arsenal fan, I was a Leicester fan. But above anything else, mate, I'm a football fan. And when he scored that goal, I thought, that's the best goal I've ever seen. I'm standing up and I'm clapping it because it was unbelievable. So I clapped it. And he turned around and he said, sit down.
Yeah.
Naturally, I sat down because I was scared. But when the legend that is Steve Walsh scored that equaliser.
Wow.
That fan came up the rows because everyone was going crazy. And he punched me in the face. Yeah.
How old are you then? You say 15?
14, 15, and I had a Leicester tracksuit on, don't forget. And it was a good job my old man was sitting behind me because and if you remember that night, it was raining. So he had a big golf umbrella, my old man. And as that bloke punched me, I just seen this massive golf umbrella come over the top and smack this lad right in the centre of his eyes and knocked him back the five rows.
Oh, my God.
It was a great night. One that I'll never forget.
That's added to the fact that was an amazing game to be at. But your old man doing that.
Unbelievable, mate. I'll never forget that game.
Yeah, of course.
Bergkamp scored a hat-trick. And then obviously, Walshire, who now is a big mate of mine, scored that equaliser. And he is a bona fide Leicester legend, mate.
Yeah,
he is, mate.
Oh, mate, we won't go there with the. He's there as every effing worst Stevie Walsh.
Now,
you know, I'm talking probably 6 years old, and I still remember that as well. These things don't go away.
Incredible.
Yeah. But you mentioned about clapping a player. I did that actually. When it was the Angel Di Maria goal, Man United, when we come back,
United,
famously
yeah.
come back and won 5-3. That was on my birthday. That was my most amazing birthday I ever had. I went out on the lash for the next probably 6 hours after that.
I can imagine, it was a great game.
Yeah, and I don't know about the best goal I've seen live. I think it's I don't want to say it, but it's Jamie Vardy's half volley against Liverpool, Mahrez assist.
Yeah. Unbelievable goal. I mean, we had this on, obviously, you know, I work for the radio at the minute.
Yeah, of course. We all listen to you, mate.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, mate. We spoke about what is the best goal you've seen, and I actually think I was at that game as well. Brilliant goal, outstanding. But if you're a footballer, and
yeah, I know what you're on about now, like a build-up and the whole technical side of. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I don't want to go into all that, but it is an easier goal to score than the one that he scored against West Brom. So for me, the West Brom one where Mahrez plays him over the top,
yes,
and he volleys it
first time
over his shoulder,
yeah,
and he angles it past, I think it was Ben Foster, who's a top keeper,
I think,
is technically a better finish. So that is my favourite Jamie Vardy goal.
Well, we at 100% LCFC put a poll out on the favourite Jamie Vardy goal out of the 100, and those two are the ones that came up time and time again. I don't think the results are in. I think Phil put it up for a full week, so we'll soon find out what the fans think on there.
yeah, well, hopefully everyone agrees with me.
Yeah, well, the actual game, though, Pipes, you brought the 3 points back, which was brilliant, thank you. What a game that was at the weekend. Anything particularly you'll pick out which really stood out for you?
Honestly, mate, and I don't think a lot of people agreed with me, but it's the way I, you know, the way I commentate on games. I just have to say what I see, and I thought, yes, Johnny Evans gave it away at times, but the way he defended, mate,
yeah,
he was throwing his body in front of things, he was out jumping Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood, who we know are probably the two, mate, they're two unbelievable strikers, especially in the air, and they're strong.
They've got height in that squad, haven't they?
They've got
Crouch
got,
as well, haven't they?
They've got absolute, like Hercules guys in that squad. And the way that he defended in that game for me was the standout moment. And then, 30 minutes left, it's 1-1, and they bring probably the best header of a ball Premier League history, other than Shearer probably, Peter Crouch on, and he starts winning headers against him and dominating him in the box as well. So that's the reason I gave Johnny Evans man of the match. But what I've got to say is I don't know if you went Chelsea away, mate. Chelsea away, Stamford Bridge, just before Christmas.
No.
It was back to the walls, defending with bodies, chucking bodies on the line, last-ditch tackles, helping your mate
out.
Yeah,
that's grinding out a result, isn't it?
Yeah, that is exactly the feeling that I had at this game at the weekend. So when because we had gone down to 10 men,
of course, yeah. Was definitely a sending off, because when you look back at the replays, there wasn't a lot of contact, but obviously he's caught him with, you know, running behind, and Maguire's not as quick, and he's gone down. Yeah. Is that a red card?
Yeah,
it is.
I think so, mate.
Yeah.
I think. Listen, Harry Maguire's not meant to bring him down.
No,
there's minimal contact, but the laws of the game suggest. And I don't think Goodmanson's dived. I think he's got a bit of contact. He's running at full pace. It's taken him to the floor. Yes, there was a covering defender. I think it was Johnny Evans, but he was never going to catch Goodmanson.
No, he weren't, no.
And for me, mate, it was the right decision by Michael Oliver.
Yeah. What about on the other end? What about on the other end? The NDD situation, the foul at top.
You know what, mate? That's one of the hardest ones I think you could call.
Really?
Because initially, when I first seen it, I thought, that's a penalty. And then I looked at it again, I thought, that's outside the box. And then I looked at it again and thought, he's hardly touched him, he's gone down easy. But then I looked at it again for the third or fourth time, and I thought, you know, he's gone down quite naturally. It looks like, because what...
He did go down like a sack of spuds, mate. He really did.
Do you know what, mate? I don't know if he did. You know when someone goes down like a sack of spuds, you sort of see how they've thrown themselves to the floor. I don't think he did. It looks natural how he went to the floor.
Hmm.
And the thing that I would suggest is when someone is going full tilt and they are moving as quickly as they can move, all it takes... I know this because it's happened to me quite a few times. All it takes is a slight brush from an opposition, and it can send you to the floor because you are moving at full tilt.
Yeah, well, Vardy, for instance, gets a little slight knock, exactly. and people moan about him diving all the time. But yeah, I see where you're going with this, to be fair. Now, thinking about it, on the Leicester perspective, yeah. when we get the same sort of situation with Vardy, we always shout for a pen all the time, don't we? So yeah, I sort of get what you mean, yeah.
We do. If you're moving at full tilt, mate, and if it, even if it's a slight knock and it puts you off your stride, you can go to the floor quite easily.
Now, Pipes, we need to talk about the main man of the game, Wes Morgan. The fans chanting his name, great to hear. Top man, let's talk about him. Good old Captain Morgan, the only decent captain at the minute in Premier League, the best captain. Got the win off.
Mate, it's unbelievable.
His story is amazing. You know, the doubters have given it to him, you know, on social media, saying he's done. And yet again, he's on the pitch, and I think he bossed it. He really did.
Mate, don't forget as well, chappers, he came on with no warm-up.
Unbelievable.
34, nearly 35 years old. I thought, as I've already said, Barnes and Wood, two of the best at what they do in the Premier League, flicking balls on, heading balls that come into the box, strong, you know, real big units.
Yeah, and bigger than Wes.
They are. But it was a typical, I thought, club captain's performance. He really led the team onto that win, I think, and it was brilliant.
And it showed, didn't it? It showed because they wrapped their arms around him. Johnny Evans was celebrating more than Morgan on that goal. You know, it was just, you can see that the lads are well behind Wes Morgan.
Yeah, mate, it's without a doubt, I think all the staff that I still speak to absolutely love him. He's supposed to be a top guy. The young lads that have come into the team can't speak more highly of him.
Yeah, respected.
And that's one of the reasons, not for his playing ability, not so much for his playing ability. I think he has to stay at the club for another year because he's such a good influence on that dressing room.
Yes, definitely. With Kolo Touré now in, you know, sort of like defensive sort of coaching duties as well, I think time's good at Leicester at the back, especially with Chilwell as well. He's just getting better and better for me. I think it's going to be a good season next season. I really do. I think Brendan Rodgers is just treating this. I don't think we've got anything to play for now. I don't know if we could really scrape the seventh spot. I don't think we can. But
I think we can.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, that's where me and you differ, mate. I really do think we can.
Wow.
I honestly do. I think Brendan's come in. Obviously, he lost his first game against Watford. But the positivity around the team and the way that he is... individually with Vardy.
Yeah, seen Morgan. That. We've seen that, haven't we?
Morgan.
Yeah.
You've seen the best from Vardy.
Yeah.
You've seen all
Even
season.
Madison stepping up a bit now again.
Madison, the young lads, and that's why, listen, it's no, you know, I'm not trying to hide the fact. I did like Claude. I think he came in and I thought, you know, he took over a difficult position and he tried his best. The only grievance I've got with Claude is he didn't play to his best players' quality.
Which was,
if your best player is Jamie Vardy, listen, mate, I'm no top manager. I am not. But if I go into Leicester City and I've got Jamie Vardy in the team, I'm thinking, right, how can we utilise his strengths?
Yep.
Unfortunately, that is what Claude never did. But what I will give Claude credit for is the fact that he did flood the first team with youngsters.
I love it.
He gave youngsters a chance. And not a lot of managers would have done that. And I credit him for that because that's brave management.
Yeah, Roger said the same thing, that Claude Puel deserves a little bit more credit than he gets. And it's, I think that's right. Because he's brought Choudhury into the main squad. Madison, Chilwell definitely over Fuchs now, you know, and we won't even go there with Harvey Barnes. What a player he is.
Mate, absolutely brilliant. I mean, I used to sort of coach Harvey Barnes when he was younger, and he was always that type of player, dynamic, high energy. But listen, I'll tell you where a lot of credit's got to go to the coaches that still remain at Leicester City, at the younger ages, and are bringing them guys through the academy, because we've got so yeah. much talent in that academy, and that's down to them coaches that are there at the minute.
Well, my my niece, she plays for the Leicester under, I think it's the under 15s, the ladies, well, the girls. So I know a few of the boys and stuff that do all that as well. But I mean, you did that for a bit, didn't you? Was it 2012 or something? Weren't you under the under 15s for a bit?
I did, mate. I was under 15s. I was the foundation group, which is under 9s. I did the under 10s, under 11s, under 12s.
And now you've got your own academy as well, haven't you?
I have, mate. I sort of moved on from Leicester City.
FSD.
Yeah, well, John Rudkin gave me the opportunity at Leicester. And, you know, me and John was my under 11s, under 12s, under 13s manager at Leicester City. And he sort of brought me all the way through. So, you know, we had a working relationship there, and I credit him a lot for obviously my career.
Well, yeah.
And then I found tough times after football when I finished, and you know, John gave me an opportunity to work at Leicester, which he didn't have to do, which was quite a brave decision, because someone who's, you know, been struggling and drinking and his sort of life's gone all over the place after football, you know, John took a risk. Really, with taking me, that's why I really credit him for that, and I appreciate the chance that he gave me, because it took me on to what I'm doing now, and it gave me that passion to coach and to be sort of a manager of like the youth age, and it took me on to do what I'm doing now with the FSD Academy.
It's amazing,
16, 17 year olds.
It's absolutely amazing, mate.
It's good, mate.
It really is. You know, good things come to good people, mate. You know, you're a good lad. You're a Leicester local lad. You speak just like me. Leicester, everything's with an E-H, not Y.
That's the way it has to be, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Stringer said on the radio yesterday, said something about it's a bit windy and a bit blowy. You know, and I just thought to myself, you can't get any more Leicester than that on the radio, you know. I just loved it. It just made me smile.
Yeah, but what more would you want on BBC Radio Leicester? You've got
yeah,
to have it, you?
Exactly.
You've got to have
yeah,
Leicester,
spot on, mate. I'm just going to literally break down the next game coming up, obviously after the international break. James Maddison got snubbed from the England squad. What do you reckon of that? Do you think his form dropped? Because it did, didn't it?
It did drop, mate.
Do you think I'd give him a wake-up call?
Listen, mate, it's his first season in the Premier League. He wasn't going to come in and he wasn't going to be our most outstanding player consistently.
Not straight away.
Through the whole of the season. Listen, he had a great start. We all seen his ability and how he can play the 10 position. I think he's a wonderful footballer. Technically, I think he's probably one of the best footballers we've got. The way he moves between lines, it's something that we've been missing for a while. He came in, he's done that ever so well, I think. And then don't forget, mate, he's a young lad.
Yeah, he's 21, so, isn't he? 20,
yeah,
something like
that. I think we was a bit tough on him. I mean, he started brilliant and then he dropped off a bit, but that's what every young player does. And now he's back at the top of his game again, and he's got to feel gutted, to be honest, I think, to not be in Gareth Southgate's squad at this point.
I think the next one, mate, he'll be back. I think it'll be the next one. Because when Rodgers finds out how to give him a bit more space, like, because he had loads of space yesterday against Burnley, and as soon as you give a player like him some space, he will damage you, and he did.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that Tielemans has come in, don't forget that Tielemans has come in, and what I've been saying a lot on the radio is Tielemans and Maddison, they like to interchange a lot, because Tielemans is very comfortable in that 10 position. So sometimes he moves into that position, Maddison drops deeper and vice versa, and it allows, and it's very difficult for the opposition to pick up one of them. So if Tielemans just always sat next to Ndidi, he'd be a lot easier to mark. But the fact that he moves between that position and the 10 position, and when he does that, Maddison drops in, it gives you a lot more space and time to get on the football, and that's what we've seen yesterday.
Yes, definitely.
When James Maddison has got space and time on the football, he can hurt the opposition, and that's exactly what he did, mate.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I mean, and you know what? James Maddison's already holding a record. He's got two direct free kicks in the same season or something. I seen it yesterday.
I'm sure
it posted
I've
up.
I've seen that as well.
Like you know, that's insane.
It is, because you think, surely someone like Muzzy, is it, or someone like that has scored two free kicks in one season, but apparently not.
No.
James Maddison's got that. And another stat the other day that he was... I think he's got 82.
Yeah.
81 or 82.
Chances created or something.
Chances created in the whole of Europe. He's number one.
Yeah. I know. And he didn't get picked for England. It's bonkers, isn't it?
That stat... Well, I think that stat came out the day after Gareth Southgate picked his England squad. And
got a feel for the kid,
Gareth
really.
Be gutted.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be gutted on that. Someone who creates that many chances... And he's not got into his national side. Has got to be absolutely gutted. But,
especially with these other, you know, the other lads getting in as well, Maguire and Chilwell. I think it's just going to be even more of a knock, isn't it? But we'll see.
It is, mate. But he's young, and I'm sure he believes in his own ability, and he's playing well. He played well again yesterday. He scored an unbelievable free kick. By the way, we've not spoke about that. That was Beckham-esque.
Yeah, wasn't it just?
He curled that past Heaton.
Every time he goes to take a free kick, I think it's going to go in.
Do you know what, mate? Did you go yesterday?
No, that's the thing. You know, I just can't get to away games at the minute because of my day job. I'm a poster during the day. The time I finish, finish it till like sort of 1-2 o'clock. So it's a nightmare to get to home games, let alone get away pipes. It's just impossible at the minute.
Yeah, no, I can imagine, mate. I didn't say that.
Nah.
Dig you out if you come.
No, it's cool, mate.
The reason why I said it is because the wind in that stadium. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been before Turf Moor. It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just thought, by the way, I'd never go back. If I've got to go back to do the radio, fair enough. But other than that, Burnley is one of the worst places I've ever been to in Britain, mate. I swear to God.
Oh dear.
But I just said to Strings on the radio yesterday, if he can get this on target, he's got a big chance, because the wind was sort of moving the ball everywhere. But in the end, he didn't even need the wind, because it was such a technically brilliant struck free kick.
Yeah.
Straight in the top corner. Brilliant goal.
I think he's going to get a few more of them, you know.
Fair play to the young lad. He dedicated the goal to Sophie.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He took his top off and he had that. And that was brilliant.
Which is, again, respectful thing to do. He's a class lad. Definitely going to be a future Leicester legend, I think, if he carries the way he's going. Right.
Yeah, and England as well, I think.
Well, let's
hope. Keeps going the way it is.
Let's hope, mate. Let's hope. It's just insane that, you know, you look back and you go, England players, Leicester, Emil Heskey. Did Steve Guppy get one? I think he got one cap.
Yeah, he got one. Gary Lineker, obviously.
You know,
Peter Shilton.
And now we've got like a squad with, you know, guaranteed at least three that will get probably within the next 4 years will be in the England squad. Guaranteed.
It just shows you. It just shows you where we sort of are at the minute. And
yes.
I think it was the right time for Claude. I said that earlier, for a manager to come in now, give those players even more confidence. And hopefully, the caliber of manager that he is now, this is a really important point.
Unbelievable.
Is that he can keep the ones that we've got. Because if it got to the end of the season and it was still Claude, maybe Chilwell would get an offer from Man City and he'd think, you know what? I'm going to go. Under Brendan Rodgers, I think it's a different story. He looks to it and he thinks, this is a great club. I've got a great chairman in top and the King Power Group.
Yeah.
I've got a great manager in Brendan Rodgers and someone who believes in me. I will play every week and I think he'll be able to develop my game. I'm going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm hoping.
It's staying power, isn't it?
That's why I think the club made the decision when they did. Because I thought Claude would probably keep his job till the end of the season and everyone would say, listen, thanks for your services, Claude, but we're going to look elsewhere. But the fact you've got some young players in the team, Harry Maguire,
who's 26 now, Ben Chilwell thinks 22.
Yeah, if they've got a manager like Claude and the season finishes, has he got the capacity and the style of management to keep players like that? Maybe not. So the fact now you've got a top manager who's gone close to winning the Premier League, he's with Liverpool, he's littered with trophies up in Scotland, and he's a big manager.
He is.
Brendan Rodgers.
He's up there as a big name. Manager. He is. He's an exciting big name manager, and that's it.
He's young, he's ambitious, and maybe that was the club's reasons why they did the deal with him so early.
Yeah, and he's got one hell of a pre-season now, because I think this is a pre-season for him for next season, regardless of where we finish. We're not going to go down, so I think he's got a cracking run for next season now.
You know, it's an exciting time for the football club, and I can't wait to see what his moves are over the summer and the squad that he creates, taking us into next season.
Yeah, mate, I completely agree. It's insane. I'm just so excited now. I'm excited about Leicester City Football Club. I'm just going to finish off with the Bournemouth that's coming up after the international break. We've only played them, apparently, 9 times in all competitions, Pipes.
Yeah, it's not many, mate.
It's not many,
because
is it?
They've not been in the top league for long, have they?
No, 2 wins, 2 losses, and 5 draws between the pair.
Yeah, and if we think back, is the last game that we played 4-2. When we were absolutely hammered?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mate,
low attendance as well. It was only like 10,000, I think.
Yeah, but Bournemouth Graham can only fit that in.
Is it 12,000? Is it max?
I think so.
It's only one of the only few I've not been to be fair. It's a trek as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's a bloody trek.
Well, it's a trek. It's a beautiful part of the country, though.
Yeah, of course. Right, Weymouth, sort of Dorset way, isn't it, down there? It's beautiful.
It is, mate. It's beautiful. We got there, we was all excited, and within minutes, it was just going the wrong way. And Bournemouth really put it to us that day. A player that I like, Fraser. I really like Ryan Fraser. He's sort of their left winger. He uses both feet, cuts in a lot on his right foot. He absolutely destroyed us that day. And what Bournemouth did, they utilised their strengths, probably you would say, against our weaknesses. And our weaknesses are bringing Wes Morgan in deep and trying to play in and around him. Because, you know, when we first started this interview, Wes is brilliant at playing against the big man. He's still got the strength. He's still brilliant in the air, but he's not so good in and around him. If you're playing short, sharp football and you've got someone who's running in behind him. You think of earlier in the season against Everton, Richarlison. All Richarlison did every time he got the ball was kick it by Wes and try and out-sprint him. And he did 9 times out of 10. Now, as Wes is getting older, I think he understands himself anyway. You've got to play more like Tony Adams. You've got to try and read the game a little bit more because you've not got the pace to get in and you know, stop them kind of runs. You've got to be a little bit more intelligent in your thinking. And I think Wes has adapted his game.
He got sent off that game, didn't he?
He did, mate. He sort of got pulled into areas that he didn't need to be pulled
like you
in.
Said, yeah, yeah.
He came into one-on-ones against quick players, Fraser, and players like that, and they just gave him a nightmare. But listen, I think Bournemouth are decent, but now we're under Rodgers and the way that he plays.
You're going for a win.
I think he's an intelligent enough manager. Honestly, mate, I think he's an intelligent enough manager to understand what I've just spoke about, and I think he'll utilise our strengths and he'll try and crowd out their strengths, and I think we'll win the game.
Okay, score prediction, goal scorer, and we're out.
Score prediction will be 2-0 to Leicester.
2-0 to Leicester.
And the goal scorers will be Jamie Vardy with both of them, mate.
Oh, it's a double for Jamie Vardy.
That's a little bit of a tip of my hat to you as well. You look so much like the great man.
Why did you have to drop that in? Yeah, cheers. It is what it is, mate. Look, I've had a bit of fun with it. You know, I've had some bad moments with it as well. People on 100% LCFC know the whole story now, so I ain't got to keep explaining myself. But hey-ho, I had some fun with it, mate.
Hey, mate, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with looking like someone and utilising off it. I don't see a problem with it. If I'm good at something or if I if I've got a ability in a certain area.
I wish I had the ability, I'd tell you that.
Well, mate, if I've got the ability to and utilise to be able to make money off that fact, I'm going to do it. I've got a family, you've got a family, and that's all we're trying to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course.
So don't worry about that, mate.
Listen, the last time I played a football match with the legends, Matt Elliott and Jerry Taggart, they said I was like Bambi on ice, mate.
Hey, mate, don't... Listen, them two can make anyone look like Bambi on ice because they're units, they're scary geezers. They used to make me look like Bambi on ice in training.
Brilliant, mate, brilliant.
But you just got to have belief in yourself and listen.
Listen, thanks for coming
next
on.
Next time you play, just... Listen, next time you play, just don't wear your post bag.
We're going to have to do a banter show sometime, you know.
That'd be good. Get tags on. He's brilliant.
That'd be good. Yeah, listen, thanks for coming on, Pipes. If you want to check out Pipes' stuff, he's always on BBC Radio Leicester during the games, bringing us the commentary. He's took over Matt Elliott, haven't you?
I have, mate, yeah. Matty's gone and worked for the club now, so there was a position become available, and kindly the BBC asked me, and I accepted.
Yeah, so and Pipes brings you some good stuff and a different perspective than Stringer. You two don't always agree, do you? That's the thing.
Well, that's how radio... It makes good radio.
It's always a good listen.
Yeah. If I don't agree with what he's saying, I'm not just gonna fall in line. And similar strings with me. We've got two personalities. We've got to have two different views on it. But listen, he's a good lad, and I love
he
working
is.
With him.
He is. Thanks. Thank you for coming on, Pipes. And I'll check you out on probably the next one we do, maybe in the future.
Yeah, mate. I look forward to it.
Cool, mate. Thank you for coming on.
Stop, man, chap.
Matt Piper there joining us on the podcast. Thank you for coming on, Matt. Right, if you're on SoundCloud, if you're on iTunes, make sure you hit the subscribe button and follow and like us on @100LCFC on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm Lee Chapman. Give me a follow at Lee_Chappie. And above all else, stay completely 100% LCFC. Cheers, guys.